All right, let's talk a little baseball with our friend Rob Raines, who is the best follow on Twitter after every Cardinal game. Rob, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Frank. Thank you. How are you?
Very good. So it is only 2 weeks into the season, but we finally have the most important moment of the young season, Nolan Arenado. I shudder to think what would have happened if he makes an out and the Cardinals lose that game. Instead, it's the biggest moment we've had so far.
Yeah, they definitely needed it. I mean, it came at the right time. That was been the biggest problem, I think, for the offense so far, is that they've had opportunities, you know, several games to get that big hit and make a difference and didn't do it. So about, you know, I guess, law of averages time that it did happen. But you're right. I mean, it was I guess we'll never know for sure what would have happened had he struck out there, or we'll find out now what an important hit it was if we see what happens in the next, you know, week or 10 days or so here.
And it was a situation where the Cardinals have not actually done very well, bases loaded, correct?
0 for 8 with 4 strikeouts until that point this season, yes.
Wow. All right, and then Nolan Gorman gets the game-winning home run. Give me a thought on Nolan right now with his 1,100-plus OPS and what you think we're seeing and how special can he become.
Well, I think you're seeing the most improved player on the team from a year ago till this point in this season. You know, primarily because he's not swinging at pitches that he can't hit, you know, which is what his problem was at the end of last season. So he's drawing more walks. I mean, he's got 7 walks already this year, which I think he didn't have last year until like his 79th plate appearance. So that's a key, because if he is taking the pitches that he can't hit, then they're forced to throw him strikes, which he can't hit. And I think he's been proven that I think he can hit the ball out of any ballpark. So, and I think he's just a lot more confident player. I think the work he put in over the winter was really obviously a positive for him. And the fact that he's having success right away only reinforces his feeling that he can hit well and can do it for a long time at this level.
I hate to be a prisoner of the moment guy, but if you had to go over under 30 home runs on Gorman, would you go over 30?
He got 3 right now in 10 games. Or, you know, I'd go over 30.
Wow. Jordan Walker, how do you evaluate what you're seeing there?
Well, he's doing stuff nobody in baseball history has done, so let's start with that and go from there. And then doing it, in fact, he's 20 years. I actually just looked up this morning what the record, two records. One is, you know, forgetting his age, the fact that he's 20 years old. What's the record for, major league record for most consecutive hitting streak, longest hitting streak to start a career, and it's 17. It's been done twice, once by a player in the Reds in the 1940s, and then David Dahl of the Rockies did it a few years ago. So he's got that to shoot for, and then but he's still a ways away from the record to start a season for the Cardinals. Longest hitting streak was 22 games by Joe Torre in 1971. So got a ways to go to get to that record. But yeah,
repeat the Torre one.
What's that?
What was the Torre stat one more time?
He hit in 22 consecutive games to start the 1971 season.
Wow, and that was the magical year with 230 hits, and not one of them was a leg hit. He gave me a great answer the other day on opening day, Rob. I said, you know, because George Brett had the famous quote about how the ball looked like a beach ball when he flirted with 400. Right. And I said, did the ball look bigger to Joe? And Joe said, no, but it appeared at times the ball just stopped.
Yeah,
that's what a great answer.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah. That's good. So, no,
all right.
Everything you would want him to do, there's nothing you could have asked him to do better than he's done to this point.
And you've actually known him for a little bit, because you're one of the few guys in the St. Louis media who actually goes to Memphis or goes to Springfield and gets to know these guys. He also is just like off the charts in terms of personality and character, isn't he? Elaborate, please.
Yeah, he's just a great young man. He was raised well. His parents are terrific people, and he's very educated. He was going to go to Duke if he'd gone to college. So, you know, he's just very level-headed, very calm. He doesn't really like talking about himself that much, which is a great attribute for a young player. But I think he's ready for the moment. I mean, it's not too big for him, either the stage, either, you know, personally off the field or on the field. You know, he's got, like you said, he's very outgoing. He likes to talk to hitting. He likes to talk to his teammates. I mean, I think he's just fitting in incredibly well.
Yeah, I tell you, manager Marmol has tough decisions to make every game in putting out this lineup. Not that we'll get to the pitching in a moment, but like a guy like Juan Yepes, He goes 2-for-4. He's hitting .333, hit a home run again last night. But, you know, unless it's a lefty, does he play?
Probably not right now. I mean, there seem to be going a lot of the platoon matchups, and unfortunately you face a lot more right-handers than you face left-handers. So, and I even think his roster spot might be in trouble when Newpar comes back, which is probably going to be this weekend. So, yeah, it's not a tough lineup. It's a tough lineup to crack right now, and not only just for playing time, but just to actually be on the roster.
All right, let's talk Tyler O'Neill, who did have a big moment late, a nice opposite field single. Off to a slow start. What are you seeing there? Not a terrible start. He's hitting .257, but...
No, I think, but if I'm not mistaken, without looking it up, I think that was his first RBI since opening day, I think. And I know he hasn't had an extra base hit since the opening day, that home run on opening day. So, yeah, not hitting for the power that you'd like. And, I think the biggest problem with him is not the offense. It's just I just don't see him as a center fielder. I mean, I know that there's reasons to put him out there, and I know, Carlson's stiff neck was the reason he was probably there last night, but against the left-hander and not playing left. But I think it's you're trying to force something that I don't think you need to try to force. And I think that what that is doing as far as affecting his offense and stuff, I'm not sure. But I just don't understand why they feel like they have to play him in center field.
Well, it's interesting because the Cardinals have told me they thought, by their analytics and his jumps, that he was the best center fielder they had. I'm wondering if he also tried to orchestrate this.
No, I think he did want to play there in spring training because he knew he was going to probably play there in the World Baseball Classic for Canada. So I think that's how it started in spring training. But to me, I don't really need analytics when I watch somebody play defense. I just watch how they play defense. Can he go catch the ball or can he not catch the ball? And, that it's a pretty simple test in my mind.
Go ahead.
That's always, I think you can use analytics as a crutch. And I think that's sometimes both offensively and, I guess, defensively to me, it's just you're still taking away the most important element of how you scout a player, and that's by watching how he plays.
So they moved Tommy Edman up in the order. He had 3 hits last night. But I do think that when everybody is healthy and they have their regular lineup, he's best suited in the 9 spot. How do you see it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, especially left-handed when you're playing right-hander, because he is better as a right-handed hitter, just like Carlson, basically. So, I think that Donovan was there last night because he pretty much had to be because you didn't have a lot of other options, other than if you want to keep Burleson in there against left-handers. So, I suspect today he'll be back down to the 9 spot. Yeah, and that's a fine spot for him. I mean, there's nothing wrong, with the DH, it used to be like people got mad about hitting 9th because you basically were hitting by the pitcher. But when you got the DH spot, somebody's got to hit 9th. And it usually is a guy that's probably not as going to hit you as many home runs or whatever. But, you're basically acting like a second leadoff guy because if he gets on base and he's on there in front of Donovan, he can either get a double or, steal a base. It's amazing to me how they haven't had more stolen bases this year. That's one thing that kind of stands out to me is that they've only had 3 through the first 11 games and actually only attempted 4. So we had heard all along that was one of the rule changes with the bigger bases was going to lead to a lot more stolen bases. And for some teams it has, but not for the Cardinals.
All right, let's get to some pitching thoughts. Miles Michaelis probably had a legitimate beef after the first start, maybe the second, that there were some slowly hit balls that got out of the infield and just kind of found a hole in the outfield. But last night, that wasn't the case. His ERA is 10.05. It is only 3 starts. Any reason for concern there?
Yeah, I'm concerned. I mean, I think that, the soft contact last night was that ball for the cone hit went about 800 feet and probably left a hole in some wall out of the outfield. It was nothing soft about that hit. So, I thought the first 4 innings, I thought he pitched pretty well. Give up the one run, but I think, you would take that, especially in Colorado. So I guess we'll give him another start or two because you can't really count the one in Colorado probably. It's just he's not the first pitcher that has trouble out there. And certainly had a terrible start out there his last start, a year or two ago, whatever it was. So we'll see what he does his next time through. And he's been a slow starter before, but he's got some point. They've got to figure out a way to get not just him, but, Woodford and Nats and these other guys have got to figure out a way to get deeper in ball games and get outs and not give up 5 or 6 runs a start.
Then we have, the Mats issue. What are you seeing there? Because we were so encouraged by what we saw in spring training from Steven Mats.
Well, what it tells me is that you don't really pay too much attention to what happens in spring training. You know, our good friend, mutual friend, Whitey Herzog always used to say that the two worst times to try and evaluate a player were spring training and September. And so, you know, I think he may have beyond to something there. But the guy to watch is Matthew Liberatore. He's pitching tonight for Memphis. He's got two starts now in Memphis, gone 10 innings and not allowed a run, and only walked four and struck out 14. So he's knocking on the door here. And you also got Wainwright probably a couple weeks away from coming back. So there's going to have to be a couple potential changes, I think, in that rotation if some of those guys don't get it turned around in pretty soon.
Okay, so like with a guy like Matz, let's say he has two really good starts in a row, but Wainwright replaces Woodford. Who would be the starter in the most? I guess it depends how the next couple of starts go, but
yeah,
who would he replace?
Well, or maybe do some creative thing and go to a sixth start. You know, I mean, San Diego's using a six-man rotation right now to get their guys some extra rest. So I don't know how it's going to shake out, but I think the way Liberatore is pitching right now, if he continues that for a couple more starts, he's going to have to force the issue somewhere. Maybe he doesn't come up here and go in the rotation. Maybe he comes up here and goes into the bullpen. I don't know, but I think at some point he's going to prove that he needs to get a shot here at the big league level.
All right, let's get to the bullpen. How would you evaluate? Who do you really like? Who are you really concerned about?
I like Zach Thompson a lot. I really think he's been terrific. And again, here I say don't judge a player in spring training, but he was, could have been better in spring training, but he couldn't really have been better so far to start the season. He got some tough luck the other night and gave up an inherent, run that scored after he left the ballgame. The first run he's been charged with, it was an unearned run, so far this season. I just think he's deserving of a little more high leverage spots. Helsley and Gallegos, it's hard to judge because they really haven't had consistent work to this point because they've been behind in so many of the ballgames and didn't have a lead into the ninth inning. So you got to give them probably a little bit of a pass. I mean, Hicks is the guy that you're concerned about simply because you have the fact that, in his five innings, he's allowed half of the batters he's faced to reach base, with a hit or a walk. And, people just keep talking about, he throws 102, he throws 103. Well, it doesn't matter how hard he throws it, he can't get people out. So at some point, they've got to try to figure that situation out, too.
All right. What's jumping out at you around the league? The story, the Rays 11-0 to begin a season. What are you seeing there?
Which happens first? The Rays lose a game or Walker doesn't get a hit? It's a race we've got going here so far. But yeah, no, the Rays have just been terrific. I mean, they've got the best rotation in baseball, I think. And there's, they're such a well-run organization. Every once in a while you see, how can they keep doing this year after year after year? And their payroll is always at the bottom of the charts and stuff. But yet they've just got really great player development people and really great evaluators in the front office that they put a team together that knows how to play and knows how to win. It's a great story.
What do you make of the Pirates coming to town with their 7-4 record?
Yeah, their best player just broke his ankle and was out for 2 months or 3 months. So that's an interesting situation. But I think I'd say the best player, Brian Reynolds, is off to a terrific start. He's trying to negotiate a new contract extension. I think last time I looked, he was leading the league in home runs. So that's, he's been their best player. But Cruz is obviously the best, most talented prospect. So, the Pirates are the Pirates. I mean, they're going to win some game. I always say it's about teams. It's not a novel concept. Even the worst team in baseball is going to win a third of their games, 54 games. They're going to lose it. Win a third and lose a third. And it's what happens in that middle third that makes the difference. But so, they're going to win one out of every three games or one out of every four games. They're going to win. So it's just a matter of you have to win the other ones against them.
The rule changes appear to be working. Games are 31 minutes quicker. I love that aspect. I noticed that four clubs are now going to extend beer sales to the eighth inning to combat that. But in general, are you a fan of the rules?
Yeah, you just want the game over before the 10 o'clock news starts. I know what you
mean. Absolutely. And actually, I wanted 9:18 so I can still get post-game and get it on at 10 o'clock. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, yeah. So we got to look out for number one here, right? No,
yes.
I have to say this. I like the pitch clock better than I thought I would. I'm an old crow, fogey, as everybody knows, and I like the stuff the way it always has been, and no, don't change anything if it's not broken. But So I've been pleasantly surprised with how the pitch clock has not really changed the game. It's made it faster. It's made it, you've had games over with quicker. But I don't think really you miss anything. I don't think you've taken anything out of the game by playing it faster that you need. You're only taking out some of that dead time. So it's been good.
So there's nothing really compelling about watching Giovanni Gallegos labor on the mound.
No, we don't have to yell at him from the press box to throw the dang ball anymore. Whether he couldn't even hear us or not, we still felt compelled to yell it. Or even sitting in front of the television, too.
Okay, a couple of quick minor league thoughts before we let you go. I know Mason Wynn got off to a slow start. He was electric in spring training. Any thoughts there?
Probably a little. I mean, I don't want to say disappointment because I don't think he knew. I think he knew going into camp that he wasn't going to make the ball club, obviously, unless somebody significantly got hurt. But still, I think he really enjoyed the big league atmosphere and being around the big league players. So I mean, it's probably always been a little bit of a letdown when you go back to the minor leagues, but shouldn't have been really because he could have even had gone back to Springfield to start the season. So the fact that they put him in Memphis to start the season was still a positive, you know, promotion for him. And, you know, probably just a case of maybe it's a little worn down. I mean, he played so much in spring training because of DeJong's injury and because of Evan being gone at the WBC and the fact that he was doing so well that it kind of seemed like they run him out there a lot. So maybe he was just kind of needing a second wind a little bit here. But, you know, he's good, very good young talented player, and I think he's going to be better offensively than a lot of people thought, especially early on in his career when people said, well, if he can't hit well enough to play shortstop, we'll just put him on the mound. So as we know, he can throw, you know, high 90s velocity. So I think they've got that pitching thing kind of shelved for a while because I think he's proven he can be an everyday player.
Speaking of shortstop, Paul DeJong had a brutal 3-strikeout game the other day. What's going on there?
Well, he's 1-for-13 now on his minor league rehab stuff, which all the critics on Twitter said, oh, he's ready to bring him up. You know, so I think I don't know. I wish I had an answer to that. I know he wishes he had an answer for it. I know the club wishes they had an answer for it. Just doesn't seem like it's working. I mean, if he's healthy now, if his back issues that shelved him in spring training are fine, then, you know, you got to figure out what's going on with the swing and why he can't get hits. Maybe it's, you know, he had 15 at-bats or 13 at-bats, something like that in spring training. So he still hasn't even had an equivalent of what a full spring training would be. So maybe we got to give him a little bit of a pass here for another week or so and let him, you know, see if he can find his groove. But it's been a long time since he's been able to hit like we thought he could hit back a few years ago when he was an all-star and hitting 30 home runs. And I just don't know what the answer is.
And then the latest on the young phenom pitchers in the organization, Graceffo and Hentz. What's going on?
Graceffo had a really good start. He got knocked around as one star to go at Memphis, but he had a really good start yesterday. So they're still very high on him. And I think he's been one start in Peoria, pitched really well. So we'll see if they, you know, can run him out there and let him get deeper in the ballgame. So they're kind of really controlling his innings a year ago. So I'm hoping they let him take the reins off a little bit and let him fly a little bit and see what he can do. But still very high on both of those guys.
Rob, you're the best. And if somebody wants to follow you on social media, give us the ways. Yeah.
At Rob Raines, RobRaines on Twitter. And the outlet is stlsportspage.com, also on Twitter.
I'll see you at the park tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.
All right. That is Rob Raines joining us. We're broadcasting live from one of the great places in St. Louis, the Downtown Missouri Athletic Club. Today is the USBWA College Basketball Awards.